From the PEN Studios, this is the Imperfect Moms Club with your hosts, Lisa and Brittany.
On this week's episode of Imperfect, Lisa shares her experiences and knowledge of complex post-traumatic stress disorder. It's an important issue facing many moms, so please join us for this special episode of Imperfect.
Hey guys, today I wanted to talk to you about complex post-traumatic stress disorder. It's something that I deal with on a daily basis. I've been on this, what seems like a forever journey of healing from it. So I wanted to talk about it and to kind of teach you guys about it. We're going to get into what it is, some signs and symptoms to look for, and then ways to cope and eventually heal from it. Throughout the episode, I'll also be sharing my personal struggle with CPTSD. This is a recent discovery of mine, so it's been quite a huge undertaking trying to move through this and heal. And, you know, there's just childhood trauma is a beast, but we will get through this together. Before we dive in, let's talk about the differences between PTSD and complex PTSD. So when a lot of people think about PTSD, they think of military veterans who come back from war zones with terrible flashbacks to what they saw and experienced overseas. However, the list of things that can cause someone to develop PTSD is never ending. Anything from going to war to being involved in a car accident. In most PTSD survivors, the flashbacks and feelings all revolve around one incident or one time period in that person's life. There may be multiple incidents, but they're all individual incidents that have their own individual memories and feelings attached to them. Complex PTSD is a little different, though. The C in CPTSD stands for complex, so complex trauma. So complex trauma is defined by the National Child Traumatic Stress Network as both children's exposure to multiple traumatic events, often of an invasive or interpersonal nature, and the wide-ranging long-term effects of this experience. It's complex trauma because it's twofold. It's, you know, you have the series of events that happened, but then you have the lingering long-term effects of that. And, you know, sometimes we have these long-term symptoms and we don't even remember what happened. We just have all these triggers, but I'll get into that later. Complex PTSD stems from ongoing trauma, usually in childhood, that was never resolved. CPTSDFoundation.org defines CPTSD by saying that, quote, "It always involves being hurt by another person. These hurts are ongoing, repeated, and often involving a betrayal and loss of safety," end quote. There are so many different things that can contribute to complex PTSD, from physical or sexual abuse to emotional neglect. This is a surprise for me when I discovered my own CPTSD journey. I didn't realize that the lack of something could be traumatizing. I thought that in order for the event to be considered traumatic, it needed to be abuse. Nope. Emotional neglect can be just as damaging. Feeling as a child like you weren't enough or that you were never able to express your emotions the way you needed to, either out of fear or shame. These can have lasting effects on how those children grow up and behave in their adult lives and relationships. As human beings, we need safety. We need safe people, safe places, and safe things. And we need this safety from childhood through adolescence in order for our brains to develop in the healthiest way possible. Since complex trauma is essentially a loss of safety, this means that adult survivors of complex PTSD had no control over themselves, other people, or their environments during crucial points in their childhood. This loss of safety and security, both physical and emotional, halted their growth and they were never able to fully create the lives they wanted. A lot of these adult survivors have no real sense of self-worth and no sense of self. At the time of the trauma, the children are often unable to understand what's happening. So because of this, the brain invents ways to protect them from the danger they can't understand. And those coping mechanisms are carried on through to adulthood. So let's take a step back. As humans, we all respond to trauma in one of four ways. We've all heard of fight or flight. Those are the ones that are most commonly referenced. We talk about people's fight or flight response. However, according to Pete Walker, who wrote the book on that's most commonly used to talk about CPTSD, it's called Complex PTSD from Surviving to Thriving. So Pete Walker talks about two more responses, and that those are freeze and fawn. Let's define the trauma types real quick. So fight is an aggressive response to perceived threat or to an actual threat. Flight is fleeing either physically or mentally by becoming hyperactive. Then you have freeze, which is numbing out, dissociating, and just kind of accepting the inevitable. And then you have fawn. And fawn is, you know, trying to appease a threat by pleasing it and being helpful, you know. Maybe this won't be as bad if I, you know, make them happier or what have you. As children, when the threat was real and the traumatic events were first occurring, these innate responses helped to protect us. As adults with unresolved childhood trauma, we live our lives with the same hypervigilance and other coping mechanisms that we learned as children. Even after years of a threat being gone, we are physically and emotionally safe from harm, but we all feel like we're in danger. Even if we can't remember the original trauma, as is the case with me, I have bits and pieces, but a lot of my childhood has been blocked out. This continued hypervigilance and the trauma responses we learned that are still triggered can lead to some less than ideal personality traits. According to Complex PTSD from Surviving to Thriving, Pete Walker says the most common personality traits that stem from the four trauma types are as follows. Fight response equals narcissistic tendencies. Flight response, obsessive compulsive. Freeze, dissociative. And fawn, codependent. Some people can have a mix of two trauma types, and mine are freeze and fawn. As soon as my brain detects a threat, I either go into full appeasing mode, or if the stress gets to an unmanageable level, my brain shuts down and I don't feel anything. This is called dissociation, which means that my brain will just shut down when things get to be too much for me to handle emotionally. The dissociation is often described as zoning out. We all zone out every now and then, but with dissociation, it's usually prolonged and happens in times of high stress. Some of the ways that CPTSD manifests in adult survivors are amnesia, alienation, chronic distrust, chronic physical pain, revictimization, flashbacks and nightmares, sometimes with physical sensations, anxiety, dissociation, trouble with emotional and affect regulation. And then we have depression, toxic shame, and even autoimmune diseases, which I didn't even know. A few symptoms that I wanted to get into more detail about are affect dysregulation, toxic shame, and revictimization. So affect or emotional dysregulation is the inability to manage your emotions. So the repressed trauma results in internalized feelings, often of rage. These emotions come bubbling up to the surface in times of unrelated stress when these emotions are triggered, and it can be very difficult for CPTSD survivors to calm themselves down. So the next one that I want to talk about is toxic shame. So shame happens when something about you or your identity is looked at negatively, harshly. A child is taught shame when they are told that something they're doing or thinking is wrong. We all experience shame in different ways, but toxic shame happens when the shame starts to break down your sense of self, when your self-worth starts to go down because of all of the shame that you feel. Toxic shame is usually closely followed by anger and self-disgust. Once toxic shame has a hold of you, it can be incredibly difficult to get rid of. Suddenly, you're stuck in an endless cycle of negative self-talk. In the book Complex PTSD from Surviving to Thriving, Pete Walker describes toxic shame as the inner critic. The next one, revictimization. After a trauma, the mind creates ways to regulate and regain stability. The symptoms of CPTSD that I listed earlier are all ways the mind teaches itself to cope. Sadly, these same defense mechanisms can also leave the survivor vulnerable to experience similar trauma again. That's where revictimization occurs. An example of this would be if the mind learned to be helpless and passive in the face of danger, that individual may not be able to actively get away from a future traumatic situation. Before adult complex PTSD survivors are able to get the help that they need, they often learn to cope with their feelings of insecurity by isolating themselves from others in the world. Sadly, the isolation often leads to depression and sometimes even suicidal behavior. Even worse than that is when an adult with untreated CPTSD has children who learn the same coping mechanisms from watching their parents. This leads to a cycle of intergenerational trauma that will continue if the cycle is not broken. I've basically made it my mission, in my motherhood journey to break the cycle. It's just, you know, it's easier said than done, but I am working hard on it. Okay, so when we get back, we'll talk about some coping skills.
The Imperfect Moms Club is brought to you by...
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your teenager to help around the house?
Okay, Mom, I emptied the dishwasher, vacuumed the basement, and folded the sheets out of the dryer.
Wait, what?
Oh, and next, I'm going to clean Mitten's litter box.
Are we in some kind of prank show or something? That's a camera, isn't it?
There's never been a better time to switch to GEICO. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
Hey, my friend, I just wanted to pop in for one quick second and just ask you if you wouldn't mind sharing a screenshot of the show right now on your social media. If you would do that and post it to your Instagram stories, to your Facebook stories, or something like that, and tag us, that would help our show so much. The best advertisement is by word of mouth from our listeners, just like you. If you found an episode that you truly love and that was helpful for you, or that just made you laugh along with us, please share that with your family and friends. We want to grow our community, and the only way to do that is with your help.
This is the Imperfect Moms Club on PEN. Get in touch with the show through the PEN listener hotline at 833-PODS-NET. That's 833-763-7638. And now, back to the Imperfect Moms Club on the Podcast Entertainment Network.
The most important thing you can learn to help you battle CPTSD, battle the trauma responses you have in your everyday life, is how to regain presence in the current moment. The trauma responses and emotional flashbacks that you experience pull you out of the present moment and into a painful past memory. Even if you don't see it, you still feel it. Even if you don't remember what happened, the painful feelings associated with what happened are still there. Learning to be present in the moment, mindful, will do wonders for you and will help you regain control of your central nervous system so that you can break free from the thoughts and pull yourself back. A lot of this has to do with becoming attuned to your own body and mind in moments of distress. It can help to ask yourself what is needed in that moment. What part of you feels off? What can you do to soothe that specific part of yourself? Do you need to splash some water on your face? That always works for me, but honestly, sometimes I just need a whole ass shower. When you're able to focus in on what specific parts of yourself need something and what those specific needs are, then you are grounded in the current moment, and therefore, you know you'll start feeling better. Honestly, it's all about choosing something different to focus on, something happening in the here and now. Of course, this is way easier said than done. I have a 3-year-old and a special needs 1-year-old, so honestly, I spend a lot of time feeling like I'm floating above my body because the stress is too much. But again, work in progress. In therapy, my therapist and I spent a lot of time talking about mindfulness techniques. My favorite trick that works for me is asking myself questions about what's in front of me. You can do this in your head or out loud, whatever works. It works both ways. One time, I was in the car with my husband, and I had recently told him about this skill. I started feeling bad suddenly, and he started talking about the cars in front of us and asking me questions about them. What color is that car? What color is that truck? What's the color of the light we just passed? Things like that. This brought the focus back to sitting in the car with my husband, and I was back in the car with my husband, and if I was back in the car with my husband, I couldn't be in that scary memory. If I was focused on what color the truck was, I couldn't be focused on negative feelings from the past. Some other skills similar to this involve focusing on breathing or meditating, but if you dissociate like I do, meditation is just going to take you further away from your body in the current moment. In Pete Walker's book, he devotes an entire chapter to exactly how to get out of an emotional flashback, those difficult moments when we're triggered and can't seem to escape the feelings. In this outline, there are 13 steps, and I'm going to run through them quickly with you now. Step 1 is to identify that you're in an emotional flashback. So you can say to yourself in your head or say it out loud, I'm having a flashback. This serves as a reminder for yourself that you're okay, this is in the past, this isn't happening right now and can't hurt you right now. Step 2 is, I'm scared, but I'm not in any danger. So validate your feelings. You know, it's a sad memory or a scary memory. It's okay to feel scared, but know that you're safe. Step 3 is to own your boundaries. So remind yourself that no one is allowed to cross your boundaries, and you can get yourself out of uncomfortable situations if need be. Step 4, love on your inner child. They're in need of comfort and security in this moment and need to know that you love them and care for them unconditionally. Step 5 is to remember that this feeling is not forever. It may have felt that way as a child, but it's just a bad memory now. It'll fade. Step 6 is to tell yourself that you're an adult now. The flashbacks will have you back in the body and mind that was experiencing the trauma for the first time, so you just need to remind yourself, hey, I'm in a different body now. I'm bigger. I'm an adult. Step 7 is to come back to your body. Ground yourself in the current moment by focusing on your breathing or just feeling your current surroundings or asking yourself questions like I mentioned. The floor under your feet, feel that. And, you know, if you need to touch the walls of your room, you know, feel the walls. And if you still feel nervous or panicky energy in your body, just don't let it control you. Shake it out if you need to. Step 8 is to resist the inner critic. Don't let yourself catastrophize the situation. Some ways to do this, as explained by Pete Walker, are through our thought stopping or thought correcting. Just as an example, instead of thinking, I'm so stupid for doing that, say, I made a mistake and that's okay. If you're a mom, the best way I know to describe this is talk to yourself as you would talk to your child. I would never call Lily stupid, so why would I call myself stupid? I don't know why we do this, but there it is. Step 9 is to allow yourself to grieve. It's okay to be sad about things that happened in the past. Practice self-compassion. It's okay to feel sorry for the child that you once were. And although these flashbacks may make you feel anger, turn that anger into self-protection. Vow to never let that happen again. Step 10 is to seek comfort in healthy relationships. It's okay to take time to be alone in moments of distress, but don't let yourself be completely isolated from those that could help you. Step 11, identify your triggers so you can avoid them in the future. Again, this is easier said than done. I mean, my kids trigger me and I can't just like leave them and go peace and leave, right? But when we take a closer look at those triggers from our kids, we see that it's not actually our kids' behavior that's triggering, but it's a thought or belief in that moment that's associated with their behavior. If Lily isn't listening to me because she's 3, you know, the thought that I have that I always come back to is I'm failing at discipline. And it's triggering. And, you know, and then I don't feel good and I'm no longer in the current moment. Step 12 is to try to figure out what your mind is flashing back to. Either it's something that happened or it's a belief that was instilled in you at a young age. Flashbacks allow us to discover things we may not have discovered otherwise. They can also give us the motivation we need to ask for the thing we needed and get that need met. And lastly, step 13 is to be patient with yourself. It takes time to come out of an emotional flashback. Even if you follow these 13 steps to the letter, over time, this process of coming out of flashbacks will get easier and quicker, but it will take time. Don't rush yourself. The most important thing is that you are doing the work to help yourself, no matter how long it takes. These skills are great and work wonders in times of high stress, but what about when we're currently feeling triggered? How do we cope with CPTSD long term? These skills are great and work wonders in times of high stress, but what about when we aren't currently feeling triggered? How do we cope with CPTSD in the long term? When I come back, I'll discuss how to actually start healing from those traumas that are holding you back.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
Imagine a world where potty training is fun, fast, and easy. Only pull-ups have Disney graphics that fade when wet to teach big kids to stay dry. So they're motivated to keep the music going.
I'm a big kid now.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your dentist to actually believe you?
And you're flossing every day.
Absolutely.
Great. And you're cutting down on your sweets?
Of course.
Wonderful. Then I don't even need to look in there.
Great. See you in 6 months.
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
Enjoying this show? Be sure to check out all the shows across the Podcast Entertainment Network, where there's a show for every interest. Visit www.podcastentertainment.com to browse through the full collection of shows. And now, back to the Imperfect Moms Club on the Podcast Entertainment Network.
Probably the best way I've come across, and one that I'm currently working on myself, is reparenting. The idea that you can heal your inner child by giving them yourself what you never got when the trauma was happening. If your parent or someone close to you was abusive or neglectful when you were growing up, you can still undo the damage they caused by being a better parent to your inner child than they were. Pete Walker, the author of Complex PTSD from Surviving to Thriving, describes complex PTSD as, quote, a learned set of responses and a failure to complete numerous important developmental tasks. His entire book is devoted to reparenting and how to do that. Quote, what is learned can be unlearned and vice versa. What was not provided by your parents can now be provided by yourself and others. Recovery from CPTSD typically has important self-help and relational components. The relational piece can come from authors, friends, partners, teachers, therapists, therapeutic groups, or any combination of those. I like to call this reparenting by committee, end quote. So, unlike a lot of mental health disorders, it's not something we're born with, and thus, it can actually be healed instead of just managed. That's good news. In Pete Walker's book, he talks about the yin and yang of reparenting, which is remothering and refathering. I understand that the times have changed and it may no longer be PC to use those terms, but bear with me. So, remothering. So Pete Walker states that what is gained by a child whose mothering needs were adequately met as a child is self-compassion. This is the home base that children can return to in troubling times. Self-compassion can also be described as the sense that we are deserving of love and lovable, that the child is accepted for all aspects of their experience. The underlying concept here is that unconditional love is every child's birthright. Sadly, the lack of this unconditional love can never be fully resolved. According to Pete Walker, unconditional love is only appropriate and developmentally helpful before 2 years of age. After two, children start to learn gradually, very gradually, that as much love as they get, there are some limits. There are some boundaries, and crossing them is unacceptable. So now we have refathering. So when a child has a core of self-compassion, self-protection starts to develop as well. The goal of refathering is to become assertive and protect yourself from external and internal harm, as you should have been protected as a child. Pete Walker describes a self-fathering exercise called the Time Machine Rescue Operation. Essentially, you tell your inner child what you would do to protect them from the abuse if time travel was ever invented. You describe exactly what you do to stop the threat before it can harm and traumatize your inner child. I will call the police on them if they ever lay a hand on you, or I'll put masks on their face so that they can't give you menacing stares. That sort of thing. To finish up this segment, I wanted to read some reparenting affirmations that Pete Walker lists in his book. If any of the episode has resonated with you, I'm sure you'll find comfort in these phrases. I'm only going to share the first 10, but if you want to see the rest of them, or if you'd like to learn more about CPTSD, there's a lot that I didn't have time to cover. Be sure to check out Complex PTSD, From Surviving to Thriving by Pete Walker. I am so glad you were born. You are a good person. I love who you are, and I'm doing my very best to always be there for you. You can come to me whenever you're feeling hurt or bad. You do not have to be perfect to get my love and affection. All of your feelings are okay with me. I am always glad to see you. It is okay for you to be angry, and I won't let you hurt yourself or others when you are. You can make mistakes. They're your teachers. You can know what you need and ask for help.
Want to get in touch with the show? Email us at imperfect@podcastentertainment.com. Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Imperfect Moms Club.